Have my show notes in front of me. There we go. This is Pure Decking, show number 493 for Thursday, August the 1st. No, wait, September the 1st, 1985. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and realizing that yet again, I have forgotten to put a joke at the end of the intro. Tonight, we have a Fox. What's up, Fox?
Yeah, not a good show. Kicking back, trying to stay cool, heat wave rolling through, but that's what living inside and being a computer nerd gets you.
Yep. You know, as many times as I've done that damn intro, you'd think I wouldn't need the show notes. I do. Fucking routines, man. We have a madman. What is up, madman?
Another much, and Morps, I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered.
The calendar's days are numbered. Ah! I see what you did there. Hang on. Hang on. I got to get the thing in the right spot. There you go. And we have an RU.
Oh.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just back from playing Tranny Old Woman. Great game. Me and the kids in the car driving around pointing and laughing.
Nice. So... anyways, Cycros in the RC says he's playing old school RuneScape. Wow. I mean, that's right up there with Fox and Sard getting back into the original EverQuest.
Probably with yet less old man yelling at Cloud.
It might, you know, I could see setting up, like, you know, private, you know, go get the private EverQuest servers or RuneScape or whatever there. Working at a call center now. That's a change. Huh. Well, yeah, I could see that. So I guess get into the opening story here, the discussion story, because I think it's hilarious. Japan's digital minister has declared war on floppy disks and other retro tech used by the country's bureaucrats. I just, like, the Japanese government apparently has several places where you're still required to use floppy disks to interact with it. Around 1,900 government procedures still require businesses to use the storage devices plus CDs and mini disks, Taro Kono said. He said regulations would be updated to allow people to use online services. Despite its reputation for innovative high-tech gadgetry, Japan is notorious for clinging to outmoded technology through its office culture. Floppy disks, so-called because the original products were bendable, were created in the late 1960s, but were falling out of fashion about three decades later thanks to more efficient storage solutions. Okay, anybody who used original 5 1/4 disks, yes, they were floppy. No, you shouldn't sit there and flop them around. You will ruin them. The 2 weeks that zip disks were a thing. I enjoy zip disks. I have a box full of old zip disks and drives. I mean, the thing is, you know, when I pull out the zip drive and start using it on my Windows 10 machine, I'm doing it for comedy, irony, or nostalgia. Japan is doing it because nobody's bothered to update the procedure documents since then. It's just like that, or somebody is so you 3D printed the save icon. I mean, that's just
that means they're a failure as a parent. But
yeah, I don't think anybody's actually making floppy, you know, like new ones anymore. So go ahead, Mevin.
I was going to say, good luck exfiltrating our data.
Yeah.
Flash drives won't enter. There's not a spot to put a flash drive on this computer.
Yeah.
And the days it's going to take you to download our database and walk it out of here on floppy disks, we will eventually catch you.
You know, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't considered. I'm probably not gonna, just because it seems like a right pain in the butt to figure it out. But one of these days, I'm going to get bored and decide I need a project, you know, to go on top of the 40 others I've got going on. And I'm going to decide to see if I can somehow get a Commodore 64 to talk to a zip disk, a parallel port zip disk. Because the IEC the Commodore IEC disk commands are fairly well documented and understood. A parallel port zip drive is actually a SCSI zip drive with a parallel adapter shoved in the case. So if I can figure out how to talk to that, sufficiently powerful like Arduino or Teensy or something, it should be possible. There's no good reason to do this. But it's one of these things, if you can, you know, hot glue the chicken to the back of a nuclear bomb and shove it out of an airplane, should you? Because that makes about as much sense. Anyways, yeah, back into the article here, which Cycros points out he liked this line. More than 20,000 typical disks would be needed to replicate the average memory stake storing 32 gigs of information. You're also not counting the amount of overhead in, you know, splitting a file with zips or whatever to fit across that many disks. And
I mean, shit, I remember installing Windows 95 via floppy disk. It was like 25 of the goddamn things.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, I did the DOS and the Windows 3.1 dance more than a few times. And,
My CD drive had shit the bed for some reason, and so I had to reinstall via floppy drives one time.
My absolute favorite was sitting there going through the Windows 95 floppies. Disk 5. Disk 7. Wait, where's Disk 6? And then you get to go on the scavenger hunt around the office trying to find Disk 6, only to discover that Disk 6 no longer exists, and you have to go find somebody who's got it and get a copy made.
You can get 10 floppy disks on Amazon for $26.97. They'll be delivered by September the 4th.
But why?
Madman, do you have a computer with a floppy drive today?
I have 3.
That you use on a regular basis?
Why did you throw that one in there?
To better illustrate my point. I have a box of floppy drives. Don't get me wrong. I've got them too. Half of them are USB. A couple of them are Amiga. One of them is like in some kind of a weird external case. I forget what it's for. One has a USB hub bolted to the top of it with like SD card reader and stuff like that too. But you know, none of my regular computers have them attached. So, but the legacy of the square-shaped devices can still be witnessed to this day. It's their visual appearance with the traditional save icon. A Japanese government committee has discovered about 1,900 areas in which businesses are required to use the storage media like floppy disks when making applications or holding data. Yeah, so somewhere in a specification, it actually says save to a floppy disk. So that means they're keeping stock of floppy drives, and for modern computers, I'm assuming the USB floppy drives, I'm hoping, because otherwise they're making their people just use ancient machines. During a news conference on Tuesday, Mr. Kono also criticized the country's lingering use of other outdated technology. Quote, "I'm looking to get rid of the fax machine, and I still plan to do that," unquote, he said.
Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, at least you replace the, you know, fax services with e-fax. I mean, there's no reason to actually print it. But
you don't actually fax shit anymore either.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, I mean, I know the joke Madman was making because the industry, you know, we're both in finance industry these days. And there's still a lot of faxing that goes on. Almost none of it ends up on paper because it's a virtual fax device that goes to a fax number, which has a electronic equivalent, so it gets basically converted into an email, gets emailed to the recipient's fax system, which then goes through all this hubbubaloo to basically end up back in the other person's email box, but it has to be a fax for reasons that are opaque to everyone. It's like,
well, you can't hack a fax. The fuck you can't.
I mean, admittedly,
when you misdial the number and suddenly, I don't know, somebody else that has a fax machine these days, Domino's, Philly starts getting your data.
Anyways, turning to storage devices, he asked, quote, where does one even buy a floppy disk these days? Well, Madman answered that, Amazon. This is not the first time Japan has hit headlines for its old-fashioned habits, which remain a paradox, given the country's proficiency at developing exciting new products. Oh, buddy, you do not... there's a couple of high-tech Japanese companies that develop new products. Most of those don't get sold in Japan. Most of those get sold in Europe and the United States. Mainly because most people in Japan either don't have space for it or don't care. Let's see. Various explanations have been offered, including poor digital literacy and a bureaucratic culture with conservative attitudes. Well, that bureaucratic culture is certainly probably more contributory than... poor digital literacy. There was a shock when the country's cybersecurity minister admitted in 2018 that he had never used a computer, saying he always delegated IT tasks to his staff. And it was not until 2019 that Japan's final pager provider closed its service, with the final private subscriber explaining that it was the preferred method of communication for his elderly mother. Officials in the U.S. were also discovered to still be using floppy disks to manage the nuclear weapons force in the 2010s, though this practice has reportedly been scrubbed by the end of the decade. Okay. So, there's a device. For all you guys in government, who, especially if you have, like, these hardened, you know, systems that, you know, that you paid $1 million for in the 70s or 80s, and it still has a floppy interface on it, and you need a way to use a more modern... There's a device. It's called a GoTek. It emulates a floppy drive. They come out of the retro computing community. It's so people can hook them up to like Amigas and old DOS machines and stuff like that. And you plug a flash drive into the front of it, a thumb drive, a USB stick drive. And it will emulate a floppy disk. And you can store those 20,000 some odd images on the 32 gig disk as though you have that many floppy drives. It will create a floppy disk image, let you write to it, emulating a floppy drive, you know, write to the flash drive, and you'll get a little dot image file, and it'll be numbered. So if you have hardware that absolutely still requires floppy disks because, you know, it hooks up to the nuclear system and nobody makes that hardware anymore and you have to use floppy drives, at least stick a GoTek on the damned thing.
I'm kind of surprised they killed pagers. I know of a few hospitals that use them for doctors in hospitals because they have fewer dead spots than cell phones.
Well, they use a different frequency, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a lower frequency, it would go farther, so that would make sense. And, of course, a page doesn't have to carry nearly as much information as a voice call.
And it's pretty much... get here or someone dies, and then, you know, they get there.
Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere I have a box of pagers because I got drunk one night and ordered them off eBay thinking they'd be fun to mod. I know. And now I can't bring myself to throw them away because it's like, well, I'm going to figure out something to do with these eventually, just as spite, you know?
This is a problem with writing into a regulation how you're supposed to keep a file rather than saying keep documentation for X amount of time.
Well, I've had to do policies and procedures for my job multiple times, right? So what I try to do is you'll have a policy document that kind of has that high level keep documentation for X amount of time, store it digitally. For reference on how to store it, see this procedure document. And the reason you do that is because all of the policy documents have to be reviewed annually and signed off on by somebody with, you know, something important in their title. And, you know, they have to be reviewed anytime you're going to make changes. But a procedure document, that's just a Microsoft Word document that's shaved up in SharePoint. Anybody can update that damn thing. So Yeah, it becomes a really easy thing to go fix the procedure document when all your policy documents say do this, see the procedure document to see how. And then you just go fix the procedure document every time you need to rather than having to go through this crazy document lifestyle cycle process. Lifestyle process. The document lifestyle process. Isn't that what the guy who died because all those stacks of newspapers fell on him had? So.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to go through my garage. I'm afraid I'll become a hoarder. I have all these parts out there. My God. And yet when I need something, I can't find it. So it's like I know somewhere I have a stack of header pins for like Raspis and Arduinos, right? I know I have a whole box of the damn thing somewhere. And yet, when I was working on this Epix Fastload and Raspi disk emulator card for a Commodore machine, I needed a couple of rows of headers to solder on the Raspi Zero. Couldn't find them. Digging through the garage.
Just gotta order more.
I had to order fucking more. That's right. Luckily, it's only $5 on Amazon, but I mean, it's like, what's the point of keeping a fucking, you know, warehouse full of random ass parts when you can't find anything?
Your inventory control system sucks.
Oh, Psychros, don't tell people that. Somebody will believe it. The semiconductor shortage is because all the parts are lost in my garage. Oh, that might be true. Don't tell people that. I don't know. I've got a lot of crap out there.
Morphs all along.
Damn
it. I've been hoarding chips and all of these old cell phones I never got rid of.
Well, somewhere I do have a box of old cell phones, like Blackberries and shit like that. So, and I found an Atari portfolio the other day, going through the box of stuff. Damn thing still works, so you know I can't. Don't want to go tearing it apart, doing anything to it. But freaking Atari, you know the Terminator 2 thing he used to get the ATM. Like, fucking Atari portfolio, man. I mean, it's like, why do I have some of this stuff? It's like, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. Put it on a shelf, look at it. You guys have anything else on this you want to move on?
We can move on.
Right. I think we all suffer from your problem there, Morps.
Exasperation trying to figure out why you own things that you own?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I threw out boxes of car parts for cars I never even fucking owned when I moved last time.
The funniest thing to me was going through my old CD-ROM stack and finding driver discs to hardware that I haven't owned for decades. It's like, why do I still have the disc for this? Psychro says, every time I think I might want old computer equipment, I remember how much less power the Raspi used and how they can usually do the same thing. Well, the saying, that's true, but right now, it might be easier to get the original hardware than a fucking Raspi. I had a much easier time getting a freaking Amiga 1200 than I did a new Raspberry Pi, man. I tell you what. So, and no, I haven't done anything cool with the Amiga. Yes, it's going to get rebuilt. When? Fuck, I don't know. Why? I have no clue. Anyways. But I think the Amigas are just because I missed out on them when I was a kid. Because I went straight from a Commodore 64 to a DOS machine. But you're absolutely right. Because I've got an Amiga 500 I want to refurbish. And I'm going to stick a couple of different Raspis in it for doing various rebuild tasks, one for doing RGB and one to do the whole accelerator expansion thing. And it's like, the Raspis I'm going to stick in it are capable of fully emulating the entire machine probably faster than using the real hardware. So at some point, it's kind of like, what are you doing? You know?
I'm going to derail the show here, Morps.
Do it.
Where were you when Biden issued the orders of the Fourth Reich? This image is going viral, dude. That is fucking terrible.
Oh, no.
Oh, why did they do that?
Lighting. bad look, dude, right?
It's that's right. His soul of the nation speech is tonight, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's just come hot off. It's got blown up everywhere.
So for everyone
in front of Independence Hall.
In front of Independence Hall, they've got red lights lighting up the building. Mm-hmm. Biden and is standing in front of it.
Having a shit fit.
He's still holding up both fists, yelling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a couple of military guys standing in the background. That is, that's not a great
one. Where were you when the Fourth Reich was born?
This is Scar out of Lion King. Just before the hyenas start goose-stepping.
Yeah. It's fucking bad, man.
It is not Photoshopped, no.
I can't wait for the Photoshops, though.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be some great shit. I mean, well, I mean, you know, the obvious one, they'll put flags behind them.
But, oh, no doubt, yeah.
Way to go, Joe. Way to go. Actually, Joe did something good. I've got that story later today, but we'll get to that. You know, I had to find something. But California, this is from appleinsider.com. California passes a bill that requires online guardrails to protect children. And the screenshots they have of what they want apps to do this could be sensitive. Are you sure you want to view sensitive in photos and videos? Show the private body parts that you cover with bathing suits. For fuck's sake. And then the next one, which I guess is the "Are you sure?" It's like, you know, it shows the smiley face or an emoji guy looking concerned. It's your choice, but your parents want to know that you're safe. If you decide to view this, your parents will get a notification to make sure that you're okay. Fuck, I kind of want to turn that on just to mess with my parents. I can see that phone call now. Morps, you're 40. Why is this on?
I keep getting these things from what's an OnlyFans. Are you buying fans to cool your house down, son? You can afford air conditioning.
we know your salary. We've seen. Yeah.
Oh, I'll so start going to your house just to use your Wi-Fi if they get any type of alert.
Oh fuck! I'll give you the password. That'll be hilarious. Okay, password got hacked again. Yeah, I was running that Wi-Fi honeypot to see what would happen. They'd be like, what? It's like, why are you doing that? Because I can. A children's online safety bill has been passed in California, which, if it becomes law, would see App Store apps obligated to include safety features for younger users. As the Australian government demands detail about child safety, and as Apple's proposed safeguards look to become inevitable, California has been debating a new bill. According to the New York Times, California lawmakers have passed the first statute in the U.S. to install so-called guardrails for users under 18. The California Age Appropriate Design Code Act was passed by 33 votes to 0. Wait, it's California. Does the California House only have 33 representatives?
I'd say most abstained.
As big as that house, as big as that state is, that's all the representatives they have? Something's fucky there. Quote, "The digital ecosystem is not safe by default for children," unquote, said Democrat Buffy Wicks. Your name is Buffy Wicks. And you went into politics.
It's either that or porn.
I mean, that's the joke, yeah. With co-sponsor Republican Jordan Cunningham. Quote, "We think the kids' code, as we call it, would make tech safer for children by essentially requiring these companies to protect them better," unquote. Unlike the previous Children's Online Privacy Protection Act of 1998, the new bill is not just directed at services intended for children. Instead, it covers sites and apps that are, quote, "likely to be accessed," unquote, by people under the age of 18. Quote, children should be afforded protections not only by online products and services specifically directed at them, unquote, says the statute, quote, but by all online products and services they are likely to access, unquote. The new bill has already been approved by the State Assembly. It must now be approved by Governor Gavin Newsom, and if it is, it will become effective in 2024. So every app is going to have a little warning on it, which is going to be the app.
It's going to be annoying as fuck.
It's going to be the app version of "this product is known to the state of California to cause cancer."
God.
Which is on every fucking thing. So it's going to get about that much attention. It's going to be ignored. So not only are you not actually accomplishing anything, you're going to put little fucking pop-ups in front of everyone's app usage. So a couple of things are going to come from that. One, you're going to train more people just to click yes, yes, whatever, yes, yes, whatever. You know, just like Windows UAC. And then on top of that, that's going to make my job harder because now people are just trained to click through yes, whatever, yes, give my password, yes, consent to the rootkit being installed, yes. You know, and then you get the alerts and it's like, what the fuck did you do?
I don't think it's going to actually go that far.
You don't?
I think Apple will have it struck down. Interstate commerce. The reason they can get away with "this is known by the state of California to cause cancer" is when I go buy shampoo in a store, I'm buying shampoo from a store in California. I'm in California. I'm paying someone in California money. So their laws aren't that shampoo has to have it. It's that for pretty much a retailer to sell it in California, the labeling has to say this. But with an app, when I buy an app, I honestly don't know where the hell it is that I'm getting the app from. It could be Maryland, could be California, could be Taiwan. It's the fucking internet. I'm hitting download.
Well, Cycross makes an interesting point that the point of it may not be to protect kids, but just to train people to click through, click yes to all these things. Apparently his kid, when he was installing games, had signed their Apple account up for all number of email lists, but just hitting yes, 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 trying to get into the game. So I could see that, just doing the user training of yes, accept the contract, yes, bend over, yes, take it. I mean, you know. South Park did it better with the Sentai pad.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, they'll push this. They'll go, oh, it didn't work. Kids are still getting hurt. We better go to digital ID.
You have your listener's license.
They'll eventually just be duct taping bubble wrap around every child.
And it would include their mouths.
Well, of course. You know what dentistry costs? You wouldn't want to hurt their teeth. It's a great weight loss, you know, program. Just, you know, cover the mouth with bubble wrap. Well, how will they eat? Well, they can consume small amounts of liquid through the little straw, Coca-Cola, because they paid us.
Microplastics for everyone.
Woohoo! This next article was sent to me by Knox Grammar School. Oh, go ahead, Batman. Did you want to?
On this one, a better way around instead of just generic. What industries are you wanting this to apply to, and then just require them to do ID verification to sign up for an account and require accounts for certain things?
Well,
like if you don't want kids to look at porn, require porn sites to actually know their user base, which they currently are not required to do.
Well, that's why a nice generic law like this is easy, because it makes makes it easy for the state to prosecute any app they want. It's like, oh, you're making money. We're going after you for not adequately protecting children. It's a banking app? Well, you're obviously not protecting children. You know, shit like that. But I don't know, man. I feel like it's going to be a whim law. Or what's going to happen is you're going to see a whole new class of consultancy and service providers spring up. Fuck, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be third-party service providers spring up to provide age authentication for apps and sites to make sure that they're compliant with the child protection. Because they have to ensure that it's not a child before you access the picture of She-Hulk twerking or whatever the fuck. And, you know they're going to use face recognition technology because it's all going to be on phones. Yep. So it's like, take your picture, for every app you want to use, hold up and smile for the camera so it goes to a third-party provider so its AI software can determine that you're not a child. Oh, that'll be a fucking dystopian nightmare. Drink your verification can.
I say it's going to be about like 45 seconds before someone prints out a picture of Grandpa. Uses it for their age verification.
Well, that just, you know, it depends. Does your phone have one of those depth scanners? Which case you need a 3D printer of Grandpa's head. Or just, you know, when Grandpa dies, you keep the head.
Oh, those old stored mannequins are now getting used for new things.
It's a hairdresser's mannequin.
What's the next story?
Next story is from abc.net.au. Police are reviewing the contents of a group chat run by students of an elite Sydney school after messages were passed on by the Daily Telegraph. Knox Grammar School, based in the city's North Shore, has told parents some students have been counseled, suspended, or were, quote, leaving the school, unquote, following the incident involving several boys from the senior school. In a letter to parents, Headmaster Scott James, I love that they're still using these old school positions, and I mean, it's like very 1800s boarding school, right? The headmaster. It's like, what are you doing? Harry Potter? You want kids to think they're going to fucking Hogwarts? I realized whatever. In letter parents, headmaster Scott James said that there had been a, quote, range of consequences, unquote, for students based on, quote, the extent of their participation, unquote, in the chat. This is like somebody's private Discord server, right? Or maybe, yep. maybe another chat program. But, quote, Mr. James said that the nature of the messages were, quote, contrary to the culture and values of Knox and were unacceptable, unquote. The boys posted inappropriate images and engaged in offensive commentary in a private online chat room, unquote, the letter signed by Mr. James stated. The actions of these boys do not reflect a Knox education or the expectation that we place on our students to be respectful and responsible citizens in the community. Mr. James said the school had also spoken, quote, with the families of identifiable students. Quote, we take no pleasure in the actions we have taken, but we believe we have found the right balance between the upholding of values of this community and the need for consequences, unquote. Mr. James said the matter had been discussed with the police and investigation is ongoing. It's like, what the fuck was in this chat?
Well, I have a little inside running on this story because I got a little bored last night and decided to go after the participants.
Do you want me to finish it or do you want to just go into it?
Finish it.
Okay. Mr. James said the matter... Okay, I already read that. Knox is one of the city's most expensive private schools and charges annual fees of more than $30,000. New South Wales police confirmed the material was being reviewed by detectives from the Child Abuse and Sex Crimes Squad. Quote, so they're heavily implying it's kiddie porn, right? Quote, police will continue to review activity, make inquiries, and will work with the school, parents, and e-safety commissioner in any relation to any matters that arise, unquote. The Daily Telegraph journalist Mark Morey wrote an article that he made the decision to refer the material to police after speaking with experts. Mr. Morey said he did not make the decision lightly, but had been disturbed by the contents of the chat. IRC, 1990s. In the article published by the newspaper, it was claimed that the messages featured violent, racist, misogynist, and anti-Semitic commentary. Again, 1990s, IRC. The New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies CEO Darren Bark expressed his horror at the allegations the messages included pro-Hitler sentiments. Okay, ICQ. quote, to glorify and praise an abhorrent
live chat.
Yeah, to glorify and praise an abhorrent figure responsible for the genocide of millions of innocent people is both grossly offensive and unacceptable, unquote, Mr. Barks said in his statement. Quote, there's nothing remotely funny about their comments, unquote. Okay, some of that was AOL chat
comments.
Some of that might have been AOL chat rooms, but I mean,
I think that would be tending more towards the kiddie porn side of things.
No. I just meant like, you know, the Hitler jokes and,
oh yeah,
you know what 4chan was when it started and shit like that. So that was the end of the article. Are you
okay? So it turns out that this is an under 18. Online chat, private Discord server for the seniors in the school, right? The gentleman who wrote the article and blew the whistle is in his late 40s. What the fuck is an old man doing hanging around a fucking high school chat forum?
Oh, you know.
I do know.
What?
Also, too, the man who wrote the original article is heavily tied in with the Jewish Council of Australia. They weren't worried about child porn. They were worried about the pro-World War II baddie images. The whole story is beat up. It's a sensationalized piece of shit.
Do they not know what high school humor is?
Yeah, the dude is a bad actor. And apparently he often hangs around private young men's Discord servers, if you get my follow.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Jewish Australian Council were first on the scene to start the punishment makes me think that child sex things are beat up. It's all about zeal.
Well, like when we were talking about the other night, I mean, you know what it very well might be is, you know, a couple of 17-year-olds, you know, oh, somebody got texted a picture of tits, right? You know, their girlfriend sent a picture of their tits or something, and they're 17 or something like that. And it's like, you know, yeah, it might be technical. We're not talking about little kids here. If we are talking about little kids, disembowel them with something blunt, you know.
Exactly.
You know, neuter them with a rusty bolt gun. I don't care. I
just want to know why a 40-year-old man thinks it's appropriate for him to hang out with high school students in a private Discord server. That's my red flag.
Questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just asking questions here, man. I'm not making statements. That would be the bigger question in this story. Why older men seem to think it's okay to hang around teenage boys in their Discord server, chatting to them.
Well, you have to generally
old man hanging around a girl's Discord server. Like, because that's what's going to get people freaking out more than, I mean, you know why he's there. I know why he's there.
Exactly.
But the pleb, they don't understand.
What I don't understand is why somebody would invite somebody like that into their private,
That I couldn't find any answers to that story, because that was the next question I hit on after. How did 40-year-old creepy man get in there?
Well,
who invited him? And the closest I got that he is not the only 40-year-old man in there chatting, and this is my speculation here, that some of the old boys, as in, you know, 5-6 years ago, that chat room started then, and it's just been passed down from one gen to the next. So there might be some older guys in there.
I could see that.
But I mean, to be 40. High school 20 years ago.
Okay, so you're a young man studying out in journalism. You know of this place where there's a sensational story, but you're not allowed to write articles yet. You take to your senior editor, and they would assign someone. That's how that works.
If I'm recalling correctly, and I could be wrong, but grammar school is equivalent to elementary and middle school in the States. I don't believe it's high school.
No, this is a high school. This is 16 to 17-year-old males they're talking about.
16 to 17?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm just thinking, if they're students, one reason a 40-year-old should be in there is if your students are in a chat room, their parents should know what they're talking about and who they're talking to.
Well, I think if it's a school chat room, yeah, but it
then
should be
not
a
only the school,
it
not
should
only
be
the parents,
a senior teacher reviewing
but
the chat
as well.
Logs.
Well, Mad Ben,
it needs
Mad Ben. When you were 17, did your parents know what you were sending to people in ICQ and AOL as a messenger?
When I was 17, I'm trying to think of when I actually bought my computer, because my computer was in my room, and I had a job, so I was either 17 or 18, because I got first job enough to pay for it at 17, but the family computer was in the living room, and yeah, up until I was either 17 or 18, my parents knew everything I was doing on the computer. I also weren't doing that much on a computer. I played video games.
Huh. Okay.
And yeah, if you are a responsible, decent parent, then you should have a very good idea of what your children are doing online. Because that's...
Next question, like, my mom is not computer savvy at all. She had no idea. I mean, I was on dial-up. It was maybe a couple AOL chat rooms, but they were boring and full of creeps. So I never really went there unless my friends were over and we were fucking with people. But, oh, God, we've sent some heinous shit.
Well, the funny thing to me is, like, yeah, when I was in high school, I had my own computer in my room, right? And honestly, though, Dad bought, you know, Dad got me my computer before I could afford a computer on my own, so I would leave his alone. I mean, I understand why he did what he did, right? It was like, it's easier just to give me my own so that I will quit breaking his. I mean, I get that. But in this day and age, everyone I talk to who has kids and grew up with it like us locks their machine, locked the kids' machine the fuck down. Yeah, that's what Cycros is saying in IRC. His kids' machine is locked down.
Oh, yeah. Everyone I know that has kids of an age that they can use a computer, it is restricted. There's local group policies. There is, you know, internet filtering.
I've got people on my team who their kids, they, you know, it serves double duty. One, yes, we have all the monitoring, all the network monitoring, all that stuff. Two, if you actually want to look at that stuff, you know, look at something you don't want your parents knowing what you're doing, fine. You have to defeat all the security controls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a way of teaching them you can do this if you can get past the controls.
Yeah.
Because if you can get past the controls, well, but...
not in California anymore.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. But I was getting ready to say, how does somebody, you know, that get in the room? But then it occurred to me, when I was in high school, one of the things we were doing was the school used a piece of software called Fortress to...
Oh, God, that was terrible.
...to protect their machines. Well, I... It... Okay. I built a clone of their image on one of my old hard drives on an old 486 at home, specifically so I could run the tools to decrypt the password, because I could boot up a school machine with a DOS boot disk and copy the file I needed off. But to do it, I needed a boot disk, right? So I actually snuck a freaking parallel port zip drive in my backpack into the computer lab one day, and we imaged... Well, I say image. It was more like just copying every file on the disk. These are Windows 95 machines, right? But we copied every file over to zip drives. It took like four zip disks. We got them all. And I was able to recreate their image at home and then use that to decrypt, because we went and got the tools and figured out how to break Fortress and what you had to actually do to get the to reverse the password. So we figured out the file you had to get out of this Fortress program. So every time they changed the password, we would just, you know, boot up the machine with a DOS boot disk, and I'd copy the file off, take it home, reverse the password, and then I would give the password to a handful of confidants so that we could play Quake 2 on the school computers. because I had uploaded Quake 2 to the school's file server. Madman, do you remember Evil Santa?
Oh, yeah. I was playing it on our physics teacher's computer, who also played that regularly.
Well, the funniest damn thing about this story, right, was eventually that fortress password would migrate from the group I gave it to outside of the group, and eventually it would make it to Catfucker. He has that name because it's literal. He actually got caught in a roller rink abusing an animal.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to say his real name because we're on a show, but his name...
I was going to say, you had to do something to earn the nickname Catfucker. And apparently, literally fucking a cat is that thing.
It was accurate. And Madman knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Catfucker would eventually get... Now, admittedly, it was after high school when he got caught doing that. But he would eventually get the password. Now, I found out who he was getting the password from, and it was about, you know, it was about one order removed from the group I would give the password to. And I would tell that guy, do not give him the password. Because every time you give him the password, he goes to weird fucking porn sites, sets the wallpaper to porn, and then leaves it so that the little girl who uses his computer in the next class is going to go complain to our teacher that, you know, why is the background, you know, some woman and a horse?
Or a horse and some woman.
I said and, so I guess it could have been, in whatever. You leave it to your imagination. He would leave horrible shit as the wallpaper. Well, it come to find out, because I got a talking to from that teacher who wanted to know how I was getting the damn password. Because he told him. Catfucker told, and Madman, I can tell you the teacher after this because I don't want to.
I already know who it is.
Starts with an H. Yeah, okay. He asked me, how are you getting the password? So you know what? I explained it to him. I walked him through painstaking detail of sneaking the zip drive in, copying enough of the school's image to be able to run the decrypt, getting the decrypt, and, you know, how we get the updated file every time we do it, right? He said, that's fine, just please don't give it to Catfucker. He didn't call the guy Catfucker yet, but, you know, for the purposes of the story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the incident, I'm fairly certain he would refer to him as Catfucker.
Yeah, he would. But, he knew we were doing it. He was curious. He asked me how because he was curious. He also caught us on the monitoring software playing Quake 2 and occasionally joined in. But, yeah.
I know for a fact that that game stayed on the server for 15 years after we graduated.
I love it. I love that my fucked up version of Quake 2 with Evil Santa, because I had set the game, the install of the game, with Evil Santa and a skin, because I was using that to troll in online games at the time from home, and burned the damn thing to a CD. So that's why all the files were set as read-only, because I forgot to fix it before when we uploaded it to the damn file server. So everyone would run it from the file server, and if you didn't remember to go change your name, you were Evil Santa. And you came in with the grunt with the Santa skin, and it was because I was being a dick in Quake 2 on dial-up games in, like, 1996. Or whenever it was, something like that. I don't remember. It was when the game was new.
And did you ever play against the other high schools?
No, it hadn't progressed that far.
It did when you were in school.
Nobody told me.
Oh.
You mean I went through all that shit to upload the game, you know, hack fucking Fortress, do all this stuff, and nobody told me? Oh, man.
You did all the work and... didn't know you could have played a rival high school in town.
I feel left out. That was like more than 20 years ago, and now I'm feeling left out.
Well, now I just need to break in to their network, install Quake again.
It's like, let's fucking go, bitches. I'm going to railgun all your asses. Yeah,
I kind of want to know if it's still there on the server. It's just been rolled over all these years.
Oh, somebody surely kept it out of nostalgia.
Yeah, because I could see them rolling over to new hardware, and then whoever's doing the upgrades, like, there's Quake 2 on this thing.
So
of course,
I just,
it gets backed up and moved to the new hardware.
I just saw the clock. We got about 10 minutes left here. So, next one up is from Extreme Tech. Biden did something good. The White House has updated federal rules to close a loophole that enabled journals to keep taxpayer-funded research behind a paywall.
Good. Fuck them.
The policy guidance.
Right.
I'm sorry, Fox. What?
So that is something he finally did right.
Yeah, you know, broken clock. The policy guidance will end the quote current quote optional embargo unquote that allows scientific publishing houses to paywall taxpayer funded research behind a subscription to the whole journal. These costs add up quickly. For a college or university, even the bare minimum of journal subscriptions can add up to thousands of dollars a year, which is a hard sell in a limited budget, and that's just the required reading. The new rule also expands the definition of, quote, scholarly publication to include not only peer-reviewed articles, but also book chapters and conference proceedings. And unlike the previous policy, which covered some 20 federal agencies, the new rule applies to all of them. In short, if people paid for the research, you, the company, don't get to refuse us access to it. There's not really much else to say in the article. They just go on kind of, you know, talking about how much money is spent per year in research and public funded and all that. But yeah, if it's publicly funded, it should be publicly available. I don't think, nothing but hot takes here on this show, right? For fuck's sake.
Yeah, everyone that wants to use it gets to use it. We all paid for it.
Damn right.
Every individual, every company, whoever.
And the same thing should go for any government-funded medical research. I want to say
there was quite a few of the people that published those papers. Like, if you contacted them directly, they'd give you the paper for free.
Well, sure, but
to do something like that because these asshole companies trying to hide all their research behind a paywall that they didn't even have anything to do with.
Well, I mean, for God's sake, I mean, anyone you talk to who's truly passionate about their field would do that. If you emailed, you know, anybody who did research, you know, whatever it was, and said, hey, I'm doing something, I'm looking into this, it looks like you have a paper on it, but it's behind, you know, $1,000 a month paywall, I was wondering if you could tell me about this, this, and this, they would probably email you back books worth of shit because they love it, and they love that somebody else is interested in it, and they don't care.
Yeah. I mean, they're not getting any royalties off it.
Let's see. Next article is from 9 to 5 Mac again. Police secretly use smartphone location data from Waze, Starbucks, and other popular apps. Nine to Five Mac argued only this week that the sale of smartphone location data is out of control, and a new report today provides a perfect illustration. It was found that location data was pulled from a number of popular smartphone apps for use by the U.S. police without the knowledge of app users or even the companies who created the apps. Billions of location records from some 2.5 million phones were searched by more than 20 U.S. government agencies after the private data was purchased from a company called Fog Data Service. So secretive was its use that it wasn't even revealed to defense attorneys or judges in cases in which it played a key role, something lawyers say threatened the fairness of the judicial process. The Associated Press carries on a lengthy report supported by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting. Quote from the Associated Press, local law enforcement agencies from suburban Southern California to rural North Carolina have been using an obscure cell phone tracking tool, at times without a search warrant, that gives them the power to follow people's movements months back in time, according to public records and intern emails obtained by the Associated Press. Police have used Fog Reveal to search hundreds of billions of records from 2.5 million mobile devices and harness the data to create local location analysis among law enforcement known as Patterns of Life, according to thousands of pages of records about the company. The company was developed by two former high-ranking Department of Homeland Security officials under ex-President George W. Bush, and it relies on advertising identification numbers, which FOG officials say are culled from popular cell phone apps such as Waze, Starbucks, and hundreds of others that target ads based on a person's movements and interests, according to police emails. I'm going to stop reading the story here because it just goes on, and it's basically everything you expect. All these apps that have been calling your location data, they're selling that to third-party companies that are then turning around and selling it to the police.
Selling it to anyone.
Yeah, anyone. You're right.
And the way to fix this, because honestly, if it's for sale, the cops have a right to buy it. But the problem is, it's for sale.
We and you don't know that
it's law
for sale.
Saying you own your data. Now, that's going to kill a lot of these apps, or at least require them to put the little box saying, we're going to sell your data to anyone before you can accept and use their app. You just have to agree to it or say no, and then the app dies, whatever. But until we pass a law saying individuals own their data, this is going to keep happening.
Yeah, and the lobbies to push against that are going to be fucking rabid.
Oh, yeah. Everyone that owns one of these apps is going to be against individuals owning their data. Because the reason Dairy Queen asks while you're in the fucking drive-thru, are you going to order on our app? Is so that they can charge me for a fucking cheeseburger and then sell whatever tracking shit their app gives. I'm like, no, I'm not going to order on the fucking app. I'm in your damn drive-thru. At the fucking speaker, I want a burger, and I want an Oreo Blizzard. Ask me for your app.
You all heard me complaining the other day about going to a couple of stores, and both stores is like, have you installed the app? Have you done this? Are you going to do that? Are you going to register an account with us? It's like, you know.
Would you like to build an app?
Yeah, it's like, fuck off. Just fuck the right fuck off. And you know, honestly, the reason companies are doing this is because the location data is that accurate because everyone always has their phone with them.
No, it's not only accurate, it's a free way for them to make more money off of you. Like, well, it costs them nothing.
They probably make, you know, like in Madman's example, Dairy Queen probably makes more money off selling Madman's data about how often he consumes cheeseburgers and Oreo Blizzards, and especially selling that to his health insurance company, than they do selling him the Oreo Blizzards and cheeseburgers. I say, you know, if you're going to do anything shady, leave the fucking phone at home. But two, maybe just leave the phone at home every once in a while anyways.
Maybe one day a week, people.
Do it like are you. Just don't carry it with you unless you know you're going to need it. Get a fucking ham radio license and learn what APRS is and use that. You can send SMS through it. You know, do other weird shit. Be that weird asshole. Be the guy who
reorganize the meetup.
Yeah.
Well, thing called a watch.
Depending on how old you are, you can remember a time when the only time you got a phone call is when you were at home.
Mm-hmm. And you had to be in a specific room. Tied to the wall.
You know what I always hated was when you were in a business. Like a grocery store or something, and you go up to the front desk and you're trying to solve something, and they interrupt, you know, the person working behind the desk says, oh, hang on a second, and they go answer the phone and go take care of the person on the phone instead of the person standing in front of them. I always hated that.
No difference to these DoorDash guys getting the food before you do.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely fucking true. So
it just transfers over, man.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, and I don't have, you know, I'm suggesting this stuff and I know I could do better at it. I don't have that much room to talk. And actually, no, here's what you do. Here's what you do. We're going to go back to one of the early stories. Most phones that have the location services have the option to share your location with people automatically. Share your location with your parents. That way, if you're going to do something stupid, you leave your phone at home so your parents don't know that you've left.
Yeah.
Or your priest, or whoever it is that will hold you accountable. Spouse, parents, priest, boss, internet friends who will laugh your ass off at you if they see you going into the Hustler retail store.
Wait a minute, Hustler has a retail store?
Yeah, it's up in Nashville. I drive by it on the, you know, when I go visit my family, so I always laugh at that.
I'm going to legitimately start using the carpool lane while driving to Nashville as soon as I find that Hustler.
Hang on. Hang on, Madman. We'll get you a link.
I mean, I made it a good chunk of the way to my hotel the last time without even realizing I was in a carpool lane. I was just wondering why the fuck the rest of the traffic wasn't over in that.
Well, because you didn't have a blow-up doll in the passenger seat to keep you from getting a ticket.
Luckily I just didn't have a cop near me.
It's not because the cops don't know that it's a blow-up doll. It's because they're too embarrassed to pull you over. It's like, oh, God, he might want to be one of those freaks from the internet who thinks it's a real person and treats it like his girlfriend.
Hey, don't you talk bad about Charlene. She loves me. Long time.
Well, that might be more convincing if you hadn't written Charlene across its forehead in Sharpie.
Well, I gotta keep her, you know, separate. You don't want Charlene and Roberta to meet. They fucking fight like cats and dogs. You gotta remember not to call out the wrong name while
penetrating your sex thoughts. Psychros in the RC just said, oh, does she need to show you her ID too, officer?
I'll give you that one, Psychros.
Oh, my God.
I'm afraid she forgot her personnel.
There is no cause for alarm.
Okay. She left her personnel. Oh, for fuck's sake. All right.
Play the music.
What I have for you tonight is a really cool script I found in the Linux subreddit. It's called Game Ready. It's a automated script to install wine bottles, and some Lutris and a few other libraries so that it's really easy to play games on a whole bunch of Linux distros. What have they got here? Xorin, Ubuntu, Mint, Kubuntu, Neon, Elementary OS, and pretty much anything else that's Ubuntu-based, which is like half the Linux distributions these days. So, yeah, if you need a quick way to get a machine, a Linux machine ready to play Windows games, here you go. It's called Game Ready. It's just a quick SH script to install Wine, Bottles, Xorin. He had a list of them. Where'd it go? Or no, it doesn't install bottles. He said Lutris works better. Okay, so yeah. Anyways, it does a bunch of config, installs the libraries you need to get a Linux machine ready to play games. Fox, closing thoughts.
I'm just going to keep drinking until I just stop caring. I need a lot more liquor.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh... What if fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing?
Why do they take an extra pair of socks, Madman?
In case they get a hole in one.
Get out.
He's going to remember to add that joke or remove the line about the joke eventually.
I had a joke last week. I did the joke about Taco Bell and Metamucil. We wasted like 5 minutes explaining it. People didn't know what Metamucil was.
You're getting old.
Huh?
You're getting old.
For understanding what a fucking lax... Anyways. Matt, are you closing thoughts?
Speaking of getting old, I'm getting the old haircut high and tight next time. I'm getting way too bald, man.
Just shave your head.
Oh, I'll just go get a jarhead haircut.
I didn't think you could see your hair over the, you know, Australian hats with the little corks on there to keep the bugs away.
I wish.
Anyways, listen to the stream. We're always working on Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight, Cyberlord, Psychros, Madman, myself, Sardonyx, and the Soylent Bomb. No sign of the coffee maker. Cyberlord, I believe Sardonyx has been trying to get a hold of you to try to figure out the permissions on the channel. So, hop in the IRC and get a hold of Sard. That Sardonyx account, that is Sard. He is associated with the station. He ran the old IRC channel. He even talks to us every once in a while when he deigns to. but that's all I got for tonight. I need to disassemble my desk because every time I pound on the desk, the screen goes off. So obviously I've got a bad wire somewhere. Sound effects. Right. Sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
And now I don't suffer, because I got a bottle of 60 warm hugs from God.
But shut up, Wesley.